Let's just have a little word of prayer again. Our Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be here before you. We ask your blessing upon the word and the time we have here together looking into it. May you encourage us, we pray, in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Today's topic, I've been given the responsibility to share with you the topic of reaching out. Reaching out. And it's something that I think is appropriate as we leave this week and even as we go out there tonight and being a witness for the Lord. Amen. Being a witness for Him, telling others of what the Lord has done for us. And I think I'll start by just sharing a little bit of my testimony. About 16 years ago, my brother was in the Navy and he was stationed actually right around here in Philadelphia. And one day he was, you know, off duty and just took a walk and he was a bit hungry and went to McDonald's. Now, the reason why I'm saying McDonald's is because the Lord uses McDonald's. As I get to how the Lord saved me, I got saved in McDonald's. But as he came out of McDonald's eating his fries, just walking, there was a group of believers, a group of Christians out there witnessing for the Lord. And they had these pictorial stations about the Lord. Maybe one was in Nicodemus, one was on, you know, miracles of the Lord, maybe one on the cross. And they took my brother, said, "Hello, how are you today?" My brother's just eating those fries. "Yeah, I'm okay. How you doing? I'd like to tell you about the Lord Jesus and what he's done. You have a moment?" He really wasn't doing anything and just took him by. And my brother came to know the Lord after that little pictorial. And I praise the Lord because that started something in northern or New Jersey, where we come from, Jersey City. The Lord blessed. My brother came home from the Navy and shared the gospel with me. He gave me some tracts. I read the tracts. He had to go back to the Navy. And I was pretty much left alone with my own convictions. You know, I couldn't really relate to my brother. He was in the Navy and I was left with reading these scriptures and understanding my need for the Savior. I needed the Lord in my life, but I didn't really know how to receive Him as Savior. So I said, "Lord, I need help. I'm convicted and I don't want to go to hell. I need to be saved." So as I was 16 years old, I was a junior in high school, and as I would be walking in my everyday life, I would make a phone call, I would find the track in the phone booth. I would go to school, somebody would give me a Gideon Bible. Everywhere I would go, the Lord would put people in my way. And I had a sense of a calling of the Lord. I had a sense of He wanted me to know Him. And one day, a group of my friends and I were hungry, went to McDonald's. And this was in Hoboken, New Jersey, and, you know, just went there, and my friends did not know the struggle I was having in my heart, of the conviction of the Spirit in my heart. And I don't want to get into too much detail, but when I was in high school, I was into everything. I was popular, I was in sports, I was in acting, I was in plays, I did everything, and I was like, and everybody knew Kaz. But when I was in McDonald's, we were eating, in comes a group of Christians giving out tracts. And this individual, this brother, comes over to our table and gives each one of us a tract. And in my mind and in my heart, again, I'm saying, "Lord, there must be something going on here. You know, you're following me. I can't get away from you. You know, everywhere I go." And I said, "Well, this is it. I got to do something." So the brother did not just give out the tracts. Actually, after he gave out the tracts to different tables, came to our table, sat down, opened his Bible, and started talking about the Lord. Say, "Hey, can we tell you a little something about Christ?" And my friends were like, you know, kicking. They kicked me under the table, but they had no idea that my heart was ready. And I'm like, "Yeah, I want to know about the Lord." And they were like, "What's wrong with this guy?" So he started telling us about the Lord, and he went to the sinner's prayer, Romans chapter 10. It says, "Would you like to receive Christ right now as your Lord and Savior?" And when I said yes, my friends like, went back. They had no idea. And I gave my heart to the Lord right there at McDonald's. So the Lord works through McDonald's. But I thank the Lord that they reached out. Aren't you glad this morning that someone reached out to you? Aren't you glad that somebody told you about the gospel, that somebody told you about Christ, that someone had the boldness and the obedience to obey the Lord and say, give a gospel track out or give a word for the Lord? It's changed many lives. You know, sometimes we think that by going out and witnessing, you know, it could be a bit discouraging if we don't see fruit right away. But the Lord knows. He does the saving. And let's pray that we might continue to be faithful. So what I just want to share with you is how to be an effective witness. How to really serve the Lord and be in a witness or be an effective witness. Let's start by Matthew 28. Matthew's Gospel 28, just to start as a foundation here, the Great Commission. And I'm going to ask you to read these scriptures. So if you turn to Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, please someone read for me and for us, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And we don't have a lot of time, so come on right up and read the scripture. I mean, not up here. Go ahead. Amen. Here's the Great Commission from the Lord. This is where the Lord, as one commentator said, his last command as he met with his disciples, to go out, make disciples, teach them everything that I have commanded you, that they may observe all the things that I taught. And we're going to come back to this. And I don't want to get too detailed right now because I want to finish with this verse. But this is the command that the Lord has given us. We are the witnesses of the Lord. We are to speak for Him on His behalf. 1 Timothy, please, chapter 4. Before we can do that, we have to do a few things, I believe. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, please. Before we go out and witness for the Lord and follow His command and preach the gospel, there are a few things I think that we need to do to be an effective witness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please someone read verse 16. 1 Timothy 4, verse 16.
Take heed to yourself and to know and to the job of the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you.
Amen. I'm going to use this verse as a foundational point, a starting point, a springboard. I think that before we can be an effective witness, it starts with our own personal lives before the Lord. It says, take heed to thyself. Paul, talking to the Ephesian elders, gave this example as well. He says, take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock. It is something that we need to do if we are to be effective. Take stock of our lives before the Lord. Where are we in our spiritual state, in our spiritual lives? Are we tender and sensitive before the Lord? Are we enjoying our salvation? Do we have that joy? Do we have that closeness, that nearness to the Lord? Where are we spiritually for the Lord? I think we need to do that every day of our lives. Lord, keep me near you. Keep me close to you. 1 Timothy chapter 3, staying within the same vein of this thought of taking stock, is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Someone read this, please. 1 Peter 3:15.
Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear.
Thank you. Notice the first part, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Even before we're ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us, we are to sanctify the Lord in our hearts. We are to separate the Lord in our hearts. As one commentator said, we are to set apart in our hearts Christ as Lord. Is Christ Lord of your life? Is Christ Lord of my life? Is He set apart? Am I obeying Him? Is He my master? Is He my Lord? If He is, then I will obey Him in every aspect, in the life of being clean for Him, being separated for Him. Again, taking stock of our life, separating our lives to the Lord. We cannot be an effective witness if our lives are not in tune with God's truth and God's Word, and in tune with Him, and being sensitive and being obedient to Him. He is sovereign master. He is first in our lives. 2 Timothy, please. The book of 2 Timothy. And would someone please read for us chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, please. 2 Timothy 2, 20, 21. Amen. Again, we're just staying within, take heed unto thyself. The first part in 1 Peter was to sanctify the Lord. Set Him apart. He is Lord in your life. He is your master. He is sovereign. He is first. Here we're just looking at separation. Being separated from those things that will harm us. Being separated from those things that will taint us. That will bring us down. That will hinder us from being an effective witness for the Lord. Here we find in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, some of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now we can interpret this verse 21 as saying, if a man therefore purges himself from these, it could be these being the dishonorable vessels, or within the context here, is separating ourselves from evil workers or false teachers. From those men, those evil men that will distort the truth. So what are we to do? How does this speak to me as far as taking heed to thyself? Well, we are to disassociate ourselves from those things that are evil to us. Disassociate ourselves from the things of this world that will distract us from being effective for the Lord. Just a little comment on this verse. The Amplified version of that says, so whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Little poem here says, thou must thyself be true, if thou the truth wouldst teach. Thine heart must overflow, if another thou wouldst reach. Our hearts must overflow. We must be separated. We must disassociate ourselves. You know, sometimes not living a right life, not having Christ as Lord, not obeying Him, not being clean, not being separated. And we've heard this week a lot about the things that we see and the things that we do and the places we go. If we are in this type of environment, hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong things, we won't witness. We are frozen to say anything for the Lord because of our lifestyle. We know better. Satan has a field day with us because of the things that we are involved in. It hinders us. It stops us from sharing our faith with someone else because we're tainted and we're not a good example. So absolutely, we are to be careful who we speak to, what we do, who do we go out with, what we see. For all of these things hinder our effective witness for the Lord. So take heed to yourself. Take time to be holy for the Lord and practice that in your daily lives. For they will see that there's a difference. If you're in a group and you're hanging out with your friends and you're in school or you're at your job and you talk the same talk and see the same movies and say, oh yeah, I saw that, or I did this, and there's no difference. They won't see that there's something about you or about me that they want or need. Sometimes there's fear there. But the Lord is gracious. He'll be with us. But we must be careful to take heed unto ourselves. Make sure that we are living those examples that glorify the Lord Jesus, that His name be not blasphemed. Let's go back, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4. That was the first part, which is take heed to yourself. What is the second part of that verse? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself. That word save there is really protect or preserve thyself and them that hear thee. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. What things? Verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. The doctrine, the teachings. Take heed to thyself. A holy life, a separated life, a life that's close to the Lord, enjoying Him, being excited for Him. But also take heed to the doctrine. And I'm encouraged this week to see so many memorizing scripture, understanding the word, question and answer time, really challenging each other and the things of the word of God. But we are to take heed of unto the doctrine of the Lord. What is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? Do I understand all there is in my salvation, the great position that I have before God? That I'm saved not by works, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding all that there is in the gospel message. And then taking that and having a good foundation on that and then sharing that with others. 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Someone read this, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Amen. You know, these verses that we're looking at are not anything new. Verses we know. Things that we need to apply to our lives every day. As Paul encourages Timothy here to study, be diligent. Be diligent. Be a hard worker. Be zealous. Don't be lazy. Get into the Word of God. Study it. Be approved before God. Don't be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word, rightly cutting it in a straight line, understanding the different doctrines of the word of God, being able to use the word of God as its own concordance, being able to say and to compare scripture with scripture. I'll tell you why. There's a lot of false cults out there that are not just out there flimsy walking around. They're in the universities, they're in the high schools, and you know what? They're young. And you know what they're being taught? They're being taught that Jesus is not God. They're being taught that there's no hell. They're being taught that the Holy Spirit is not a person. They're being taught how to refute Christians. They're being taught how to put down Christ and rob Him from His deity, rob Him from His position. And they're being taught day in and day out how that when they knock on that door as a Jehovah's Witness, and if you're a Christian and you bring them to these verses, they know exactly where to take you. They're being trained. Mormons, we find them all around. Do you know that Mormons, I believe that between 17 and 19, they have to go out as missionary. You see them. You see them with their little tags and their little bags. Do you think they're ready and prepared? Absolutely. They know their stuff. They know their false doctrine. They know how to talk. And that's very dangerous, especially Mormons. Mormons are very dangerous because they're so close. If you're not careful, they're close to the truth. They use the word of God. So, take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. We must not be lazy. We must know the word of God. Know how to refute error and doctrine. Be able to answer the questions of the unsaved. Is there a hell? Is there a heaven? How do I know if I'm saved? All of the questions that we take sometime for granted. The truth that we take for granted. The unsaved don't know that. They don't know these things. And by the grace of God, we could understand and preach these things to them. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's go back there for a moment. We read this at the beginning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And we looked at the first part. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. There's that separation or taking heed to yourself. But the second part, since we're talking about the doctrine, about the teaching, it says there, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. A commentator says, the believer must understand what he believes and why one is a Christian, and then be able to articulate one's belief humbly, thoughtfully, reasonably, and biblically. And you know, we must be careful with this verse too, or at least how we apply it. You know, I've heard a well-known Bible teacher, a very encouraging man of God, share some thoughts here. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a sermon to every man that asks you a reason for the hope. He's like, that's not what that says, right? But sometimes that's the way we are. We're like, somebody asks us a question and we unfold the counsels of God. We start with Genesis to Revelation. And the person's like, just one question. And it's interesting because he says, give him an answer because then he'll ask you another question. And then they'll give you another question, give them another answer. So it's important that we just question and answer. Not a sermon, not a dissertation, but just be ready. Be sensitive. They have needs. The Lord's been working on them. They have been going through what we've all went through, what I've been through. They've been given tracts. They've been witnessed to. Somebody's sown the seed. And at some point in their life, they're going to be ready. They're going to be ripe. And will we be there at the other end to bring him home? So we must be sensitive. Answer those questions. Be understanding the word of God. Being able to share with them the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Continuing on the doctrine is that we have all the resources. 2 Timothy chapter 3, well-known verse again. Just want to read it for us to look at and be encouraged. 2 Timothy chapter 3, someone read please, verse 16 and 17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
We have the word of God, the complete canon of scripture. And this is where we are to find the truths of God. All scripture is God breathed. It is alive. It is sharp. Sharper than any two-edged sword. We must hold on to it. Read it. Study it. And it's profitable for doctrine. Understanding the truths of God for reproof and rebuke. For ourselves and even for the sinner. for correction, how to live right, how to put it right, and instruction in righteousness, how to live out that life. Why? That the man and the woman of God may be perfect, may be mature, may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is our goal. This is what we are to achieve. This is what we should be looking forward to. The Word of God. Not only are we to take heed to ourselves and unto the doctrine, but as we witness and as we go out there for the Lord and speak for Him, we are not alone. The burden and the weight is not on only on our shoulders. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, please. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. We are not alone. We need to be faithful, but the power is of God. The power is of God. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, could someone please read that? Amen. Thank you. We find in Acts chapter 1 that the disciples thought, Lord, will you restore the kingdom now? He was risen. He's alive. It's ready. They were ready for the literal kingdom to be restored. The Lord said, just wait. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. And you're not alone because I'm going to give you the power to be a witness for me. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in Judea. It is God's Holy Spirit that gives us the boldness, that gives us the power, that gives us the energy to preach the gospel. We are not alone. I want to read you a comment here from Brother McDonald on this verse. A man may be highly talented, intensely trained, and widely experienced, but without spiritual power, he is ineffective. On the other hand, a man may be uneducated, unattractive, and unrefined. Yet let him be endued with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the world will turn out to see him burn for God. The fearful disciples needed power for witnessing, holy boldness for preaching the gospel. They would receive this power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. What great power we have. We have the third person of the triune God living within us. We're not left alone. Sometimes we're a bit timid and, you know, sometimes it's difficult to give out that tract or to say something for the Lord. But as long as we take heed to ourselves and we know what we're going to say and understanding God's word, we must understand that it is God working through us. It is His power. He gives us the energy and the boldness to speak. And it is His work. It is the power of God. John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. Someone please read for me verse 7 through 9.
But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me.
Amen. Thank you so much. Powerful, powerful verses. Again, things we know, but things that I want us to read and look at as an encouragement to us that, again, it is God's power. It is God's Spirit. Sometimes when I was a young believer, I would say, oh yeah, I saved that person. I didn't save anybody. God used us. God uses us as His mouthpiece. And sometimes we want to save people so much. And you know what? The Lord wants to do it as much as we do. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it is His time. It is in His way. And it is the Holy Spirit that not only gives us the boldness to preach, but it is the Holy Spirit that does the convicting in the heart of that unbeliever. We can't convict people. We can't preach hell and fire to the point where you gotta get saved because you're such a sinner. You're a sinner. Don't you know you're a sinner? if they don't see it for themselves, that there's a need in their heart for the Savior, then we just need to pray and ask the Lord to change that. But one of the responsibilities of the Holy Spirit is that when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin. What is that sin? Verse 9, of sin because they believe not on Me. It is the Holy Spirit's responsibility and job to do the convincing, the convicting of the person's need for the Lord, for the Savior. It is the Holy Spirit's responsibility to let that unbeliever, as you're preaching to them, you know what, I'm really lost. I am lost. I am away from God. And I need a Savior. So again, this just gives us the encouragement to know that God, it is His power and it is Him that is working. Romans chapter 1 for one moment. Romans chapter 1. Someone please read verse 16. Romans 1:16. Paul was an amazing man. Coming out here to Rome, he realized that he needed to preach the gospel. In fact, the verse before he says, I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome also. Despite of my persecutions, despite of what I've been through, I'm ready to go there. Why? Because it is the power of God. The gospel, the message that I have, that God has given to me, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. We have a great message. A great message that here, the Greek word for power as we know it, it is the dynamite of God. It is the power, it is the dynamite, the explosion that God uses in the hearts of believers. He is not ashamed of it. People ridicule the gospel. People ridicule that it's simple and the preaching of the cross is foolishness and, you know, I'm too educated for that. And we hide and say, well, you know, maybe this is the method that God has. It is His message. It is His gospel. And it is by His power. We are to be faithful to proclaim it. It has its own saving power. Proclaim it. Preach it. Leave it out there. The Holy Spirit will do His job. We are to be faithful and believe that God will work. And He has worked. It is the dynamite of God. So we're not left alone. God is working with us and for us. We also have a privileged position as witnesses for the Lord. 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians 5. I wanted to bring this point out because I think it's amazing to me as I review my Christian life and I review my life before the Lord, it's amazing to me to think that God can use me. God can use me. That who I am in this life is not for me. The reason why I am here and I exist is not so much to earn a living. Is not so much to have a career or have a job. I exist so that I could be a blessing to the Lord, be a blessing to others, and be a witness for Christ. It's amazing. Sometimes we find and think that it's about getting ahead in life, getting that great job and that great car and the great house, and we lose sight of why we're here. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. And we must recognize that whatever the Lord puts you, whatever university, whatever school, whatever job, you're there to use that place as a pulpit for the gospel. You're there as a light and a witness. And the Lord has His lights all throughout the world. And I'm there for one purpose alone, as that is to tell others about Christ. But we and I get lost sometimes in the mundane things of life and of the work and of jobs, and it brings me down, and I'm not a witness because I'm into the everyday things of this world. and it's a drag. It will drag you down. But here we find that we together are laborers with the Lord. We're working. He's calling out His church. He's calling out His bride. God has a plan. This life is not it. This is not only there is to life. He has a place that He's going to glorify His Son, and we're going to be part of that glory. We're going to be revealed with Him. And when He shows the bride of Christ, my goodness, that's us. What a great plan that is. And yet, we have been called to be ambassadors for the Lord. Be ambassadors for the King, to speak on His behalf, to tell others about who He is. 2 Corinthians 5, someone read verse 20, please.
Now that we are ambassadors for Christ, that through God we will plead it through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
We have a ministry, as it says here, of reconciliation. Man needs to be reconciled to God. And yet God wants to use us to let them know that they have a need. We are His ambassadors. We are His spokesmen. And it's amazing, this verse, it boggles my mind to think that as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you on Christ's stead be reconciled to God, that as we preach the gospel, if you will, God is pleading through us. What a responsibility. What a privilege. That as we tell the unsaved, be reconciled to God, you're separated, you're lost, God is pleading through us. Verse 21, for He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We have the message that can make people right with God. That's an amazing thing. What a message we have. That we can tell people that they are lost. They are guilty. They are enslaved to sin. And yet they can be justified. They can be righteous in God's sight. They can be reconciled back to God by our faithfulness in preaching the gospel. 2 Peter 3:9 says, not willing that any should perish, talking about those who count the Lord slack, but that all should come to repentance. Christ, the Lord, wants all to come to repentance. And if that's His plan, then it is our responsibility and privilege to tell them about the Lord. We've made a roundabout circle. Let's go back to Matthew 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. We started here by saying this is the Great Commission. This is what the Lord wants us to do, to go out into the world. But before we go out into the world, we must take stock of our lives. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Where am I in my spiritual life? Where am I? Am I taking stock? Am I being separated? Am I separating myself from the unclean things of this world? Am I taking hold onto the doctrine? Am I understanding all there is to know about these great truths of God? That we are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing it, understanding that all Scripture is given for us, that the man and the woman of God might be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And then realizing that once we have these truths, we're not alone. It is by God's power, it is by His Word, it is by His Spirit. And then we are ambassadors. We are privileged in this position to preach the gospel. But we come back to the commission. We must remember, and sometimes we forget, that it's not so much only to preach the gospel of Christ, but there are responsibilities that we have as well in preaching the gospel, but also making disciples. Making disciples of those people who come to know Christ. Matthew 28 verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So we are to preach the gospel. We are to baptize We are to be able to tell those who come to Christ that believing in the heart, making confession of that, letting them know that it's a great thing to tell others about the Lord, but also letting them know that baptism is that outward appearance of an inward reality. Standing up for Christ and being baptized, bringing them into the local assembly, teaching them the things of Christ, discipling them. And that is the third thing, verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Another thought by William MacDonald is this. The commission goes beyond evangelism. It is not enough to simply make converts and let them fend for themselves. They must be taught to obey the commandments of Christ as found in the New Testament. The essence of discipleship is becoming like the Master, and this is brought about by systematic teaching of and submission to the Word. And let me challenge you. How faithful are you? How faithful am I in living for the Lord, being a good example? How faithful are we in the local assembly, as we heard, commitment to the local assembly? You know that babes in Christ are very impressionable. They're going to look to you. They're going to look to me to know what to do. If we are at the meetings, if we are enjoying the Lord, if we are witnessing, if we are doing what we are to be doing and obeying the Lord in our Christian life, then they will follow that example. Your life is an open book, even to those new converts. If we're inconsistent and we're not living the life that we ought to live, then perhaps others might be inconsistent as well. They will see your waywardness. So it's a great responsibility and a great sacrifice to preach the gospel. We just don't preach them and leave them at the doorstep. We preach the gospel and take them alongside and disciple them and teach them, bring them into a local assembly. You know, there's a brother that many of you know or may not know, Nelson Morales. Nelson's a good brother in the Lord. I had the privilege of going to college with Nelson, and the Lord burdened me to share the gospel, give out tracts, and the Lord saved Nelson. And the Lord helped me disciple Nelson, encourage him, bring him up in the things of the Lord, teach him the things of Christ. And I say this only for the testimony unto the Lord, and it's something that I think you might be confronted with, and that is, I'm from New Jersey, and Nelson's from Queens, and you know, it was a difficult transition between him and finding a local assembly. But we went out there. We looked at the book, a handy little Bible, that book on where the assemblies are. And we found an assembly in Queens. We went out there. We met the elders. We talked to them and said, this is a brother that just came to know the Lord and he needs encouragement. He needs help. Nelson was there for about a year before he found his place in Jersey City. The reason why I say that is because we can be so excited in preaching the gospel that we fail to forget that there's work also involved after the person comes to Christ. It is a sacrifice. They will come constantly with questions. They will ask you things. They will want to be with you and ask things. And it's something that we need to be ready for. And again, it'll challenge your life of how consistent you are in the things of the Lord. So these are just a few thoughts, nothing rocket science here, just some encouraging thoughts and words about being an effective witness and reaching out with the gospel. Before we can reach out, take stock of your life. Make sure that you're not going to be someone that the name of God is blasphemed, that you're consistent, that you're holy, you're separated, and that you're prepared with the gospel. Hope these thoughts have been encouraging. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity again that is ours to preach thy word. Thank you, Lord, for the truths that were presented this morning. Things, dear Lord, that we have seen before, but Lord, things that we need to be reminded of. Help us, dear Lord, to take heed to ourselves. Lord, where are we in our spiritual lives? Are you Lord? Are you sovereign? Do I obey you? Do I watch what I see, where I go, so that I can be effective for you, so I can speak well, and that my testimony is clean and pure? Dear Lord, help us. Help us, dear Lord, this week to make the necessary changes to be effective, and help us to realize the great privilege we have of being ambassadors for the King and letting others know that they need to be reconciled to God. Dear Lord, help us. Challenge us, encourage us, we pray. We give you thanks for this opportunity. In the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.